Hey, ECHL fans, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Step into the action with ECHL Ice Level, your front row seat to all things ECHL. Experience the thrill of the game through player interviews and insider updates on the league. Hello, everyone. My name is Amanda Arrowsmith.
And my name is Joe Babick. We are ECHL Ice Level hosts.
We will be dropping a new episode every week throughout the season on Thursdays at 12 p.m. Eastern. You can expect to hear from players, coaches, and staff within the league.
If you missed our first episode last week, we had Brad Ralph, the head coach from the three-time defending Kelly Cup champion Florida Everblades, on our first episode. You can check that out on all of our channels. And today, we are joined by the reigning ECHL MVP, Brandon Hawkins from the Toledo Walleye. He's put up some great numbers over the last couple of years, and I'm sure he's looking forward to another great season this year.
All right, let's go ahead and get started with Brandon, and enjoy this episode. Okay, hello everyone. We have Brandon Hawkins on here with us today from the Toledo Walleye. How's it going? How's the summer been? We wanted to congratulate you, obviously, on your newborn with your wife. So just tell us, how's the summer going for you?
It's been fun. It's been busy. Obviously, Rowan was born August 30th, so it's been kind of world-changing, life-changing with having little one at home. Sleep is few and far in between, but we get by. We find a way. More caffeine is better. it's been good, though. Summer was good. I stayed in Toledo. Me and my wife live here. We bought a house, but I coach in the summertime, and then now we're just kind of getting ready to get back on with the team. A lot of the guys are starting to come in town, which is nice. So we're able to put a drop-in skate together at the local rink. So it's fun.
Nice. Yeah. What did off season kind of look for you? I know you touched on that just a little bit with the summer, but did you go right back into it after you got off season, or have you just restarted up, or how's that looking?
No, I usually skate around the whole summer between two and three times a week. The place I work at is a hockey gym. It's got a synthetic sheet, a synthetic treadmill. So I was there 30 to 40 hours a week coaching kids and then training beforehand. So it was always nice to kind of be around it.
Yeah.
And then other than that, it was kind of, we got a couple times to go up north and get away and kind of quiet down. I took a little bit of time off after the season. Obviously, you get bumps and bruises going through playoffs and different things like that. But usually I have a hard time sitting still. So it was, it's usually a good thing for me to get right back into it.
Yeah, for sure.
And getting ready for this season, you know, last year, we can take us back a little bit there. You know, Pat Miskich was coming in his first year as a coach after Dan Watson had been there seemingly forever since the Walleye came back in 2009. He was there 13 years as an assistant coach, head coach, knew the organization, you know, like the back of his hand. So Pat comes in, not only new to the organization, but new to pro hockey coaching after being in the USHL. So kind of walk us back to this time last year, and I don't want to say uncertainty, but maybe, you know, a new frontier with a new coach, new attitude. And now this year, having Pat entering his second year, you know, what's changed, what's different, how it will look coming into this year.
So the way I kind of explain Mick and Waddy is they're an extension of each other. They're very, very alike. They both are players type coaches. They both set their expectations and you know what they are, and they're both tremendous communicators. So I guess when you're coming in with a little uncertainty, he really talked to everybody a lot right off the bat, and that really helped everybody get to know him and be comfortable around him. And you could see how well we did because of how comfortable we were with the new coach. So that was kind of the biggest thing. And with me, new coach coming in, I pulled him aside and asked him what his expectations are of me as an individual and different things like that going forward. And he was outright and honest with everything. So it made my job really easy in terms of what he wanted.
And you've been around for a few years now in the pro game. So how important is it to have a coach like that who's, you know, a good communicator and lays out his expectations in advance?
It's awesome. I mean, it's by far probably the most important thing when it comes to a coach. You never want to be left in the dark. Obviously, when you're left in the dark, the uncertainty, the anxiety, the different things can really affect your game and in all different areas. So when you have someone that's honest with you and communicates with you from the start, it makes everything in terms of the game easier.
Yeah. So coming from last season, like we were just talking about, you started off with a 9-game point streak. I would say that's a pretty good start. And I'm sure everyone else can agree. So that was at least 1 point in 15 or 16 of the game. So how important was that for setting the pace, not only for yourself, but the entire team for the rest of the season?
You know what? Historically, myself, I've always kind of been a slow starter. So I really wanted to focus on bearing down right off the bat and trying to get a really good start. And obviously, bounces go my way, and I think that's what made it a little easier to get that hot start that I had. But honestly, it's the guys I play with. I got to give them a lot of credit too, because in reality, I'm nothing without them. So I just put myself in a position that I can make the best play or take the best shot, and we all mesh well together. So honestly, my line mates are just as much to blame for my hot start as I am.
Along those lines, you know, you were player of the month in December, then you went to the All-Star game in January. So I'm sure from a personal standpoint, it's nice to get that recognition. But at the same time, without your teammates and line mates, you're not going to receive that. So what do you do, you know, as more of a veteran player, kind of a leader guy that other players look up to now? Are you more of a vocal leader on that regard? Do you let your play on the ice show? Kind of take us through how you motivate your teammates and your line mates to be better and help everyone pick up their game.
Well, first, I think the biggest thing I try to explain to guys is I'm a we over me type of guy. The individual awards don't mean anything to me. Obviously, it's fun to get an accolade here or there, but in reality, my individual success doesn't come without the team. When it comes to being a leader and I would like to say I'm kind of right in the middle of that. I can be vocal or just a lead by example type of guy. I'd like to think that my play 85% of the time, a little bit more, is leading by example. Obviously, sometimes I'm going to screw up like everybody. I'm a human being. So a lot of those times I like to get down on myself, but everybody in the room kind of understands that I'm very hard on myself in that situation or in those situations. But at the same time, I'll accept criticism from anybody on our team, whether it be a first year, whether it be a coach, whether it be a 10-year veteran. It doesn't matter. If I'm not on my game, I want everybody else to get on me as much as I can get on somebody else if they're not on their game. And I think that's the big thing I learned from past leaders like AJ Jenks and Nick Saraceno, Justin Vive, TJ Hensick. Guys like that are very accepting of criticism and want to be better every day that they're on the ice. And I think that's probably the biggest thing I learned from them, is try to be a sponge and never really take criticism as a negative thing. Take it as a learning experience.
Yeah. So hopping back to also, of course, we want to touch on this. So this is kind of a one of a time experience. How was that for you? Obviously, you got a highlight reel goal that was all over social media, went pretty viral. So how's it just to be in a more relaxed atmosphere where you could do crazy moves like that during a game that you wouldn't normally do during regular season?
Well, I'd like to say that I'd only do it in situations like that, but I do it everywhere. Sometimes it gets me in trouble. Sometimes it's fun. I want to say my first year in Toledo, I did it against Fort Wayne for my 30th goal of the season, where I picked it up on my backhand and went to the slot and put it over the goalie's shoulder. And back in the day, you'd get jumped for something like that. Now is a little more accepting, but no, All-Star break was a blast. I got to bring my wife with me. She had a lot of fun. It was kind of the time we really needed to get away. We just put our dog down the day before we left. It was one of those things that we really needed to, honestly, it was 12 a.m. and then we flew out at 5. So it was a tough turnaround for both of us, and we honestly really needed to kind of just get away. So it was nice to be in that relaxed atmosphere, and Savannah is a wonderful city. So being able to be there and get to see some things that we'd never get to see before, it was really awesome.
Yeah. Do you think it was cool, obviously, to be able to connect with different guys from around the league? Some teams, obviously, you've played in division, but just how was that atmosphere? Because I think in the All-Star team as well, you were obviously a leader. So just how was that perspective?
It was cool. It's nice because I know a lot of the guys. Like, I'm going into technically my 7th year, but in reality my 6th. I've known a lot of the guys. I played against a lot of the guys, whether it be in college, junior, pro. So it's a lot of them are just getting to see friends from old times that you played with before, and then getting to connect with some newer guys is always cool because you never know who they are or where they come from, and to hear those stories and understand who they are as people more than just the hockey player is definitely the more fun part there.
You spent several years now in Toledo. Before that, a year in Wheeling, the COVID year in Fort Wayne when you guys won the championship. You've had some time in the American League as well. But, you know, from each of the cities you spent a good bit of time in, I guess mainly Wheeling, Fort Wayne, Toledo, what do you enjoy most and what have you enjoyed most with your time in those three cities?
Wheeling was definitely the people. Obviously, it was my first year pro and I was on an American League contract. So it was one of those things you have high expectations and sometimes things don't go your way, no matter what happens. So the people I got to deal with within the organization of Wheeling and Wilkes-Barre were so awesome, whether it be Billy Higgins, the equipment manager there, whether it was Scott Young, one of the directors of player operations in Pittsburgh, from the coaching staff in Wilkes-Barre. They really wanted to develop at every single level. And they treated you like family, when everything came down to it. So that was definitely cool there. Fort Wayne had to be the atmosphere. It's definitely a cool place. It's a tight-knit community. The ownership group is really involved. The Fronkies are great people. Rest in peace to Michael. He was a tremendous person, and he was fun to be around, especially winning a championship there. You could see how much that city and that team means to them. And then Toledo it's really become home for me. It's an hour and a half from where I'm from. I've had countless amount of friends play here, whether it be Hensick, Lurgy, Jenks, Tyler Spezia, who got me here in the first place. You can go back, Stephen Oleksy. There's been countless of guys that have played in this area. Wolfie, Greg Wolf, like that have played roller hockey, and my dad ran a roller hockey rink growing up. So all the tremendous things you hear about the city or what it lived up to be, it's an awesome place. And honestly, they've treated my family fantastic here, whether it be at games or just little things on the side when they're around here, that everyone treats them like family in this situation. But
yeah,
the atmosphere here is tremendous. It's so cool. It's like going to an NHL game. And a lot of people it's funny. A lot of people call it the NHL, the coast for a reason. And they're not lying. When you come to a Toledo game, you're going to feel like an NHL atmosphere.
That's a good segue into to my next question I had here, just about playing in Toledo. You know, it's sold out basically every night, 8,000 plus fans. And just the hockey history in that city. I mean, going back to the Storm and the Gold Diggers and the Mercury and just the guys who stayed in town and still live there. So just talk a little bit about, I don't want to say the pressure, but more like the atmosphere and like you said, the family, just the vibe of playing in Toledo night in and night out.
It's unexplainable until you do it. It's one of those things that if you've never been here, you really need to come and see it for it to kind of play out. And honestly, words don't do it justice. It's just that tremendous of a place. The city itself speaks for itself because guys come back all the time. I'm really good friends with Ian Duncan, Derek Booth, guys like that played for the Storm, Taylor Raska, different guys like that all stuck around the area because they enjoyed it or they met people here and ended up just staying forever. It's a really tight knit community that hockey means everything, from the Gold Diggers to the Storm to us. The sports arena that I got to go to when I was little, I can still smell the cigarettes. It's just, you can really understand how much it means to people here when you hear them talk about it. And it doesn't do it justice just talking about it because people need to come see it for it to make sense.
So going back to Fort Wayne real quick, in 2021, obviously you won the Kelly Cup title there. So how would you say that experience now relates into your situation with Toledo and wanting to bring a championship there for the first time in 30 years?
Obviously, we want to bring a championship here. We try to take a different approach, taking a game by game here, which I think is really good because if you let that kind of seep in, there's a distraction and sometimes guys get a little bit, they just go off a beaten path and then you don't get them back because they're more worried about that than the next game. The biggest thing I learned from there is probably like how to perform in playoffs and how to deal with the different emotions that come with playoffs, the different bounces, the adversity that comes with it. Honestly, it was a crazy time during COVID to play a championship game or championship round like that. We're playing in a practice rink in South Carolina that I could touch the ceiling with my stick. It was different. You had to deal with all the different things that were thrown at you, like the little rink, the 18 to 20 hour bus rides because you're not flying, at that time too, it was different because in my eyes, the league was a tad different because all the guys that potentially could be in the American League weren't, and teams were more focused on their prospects up there than they were about winning. It was more of a development year for the entire league. So I'd say a lot of the guys that would normally be in the American League ended up in the East Coast League that year and made it really tough. And it was hard to win. So it was just one of those things that the whole year itself was learning how to deal with adversity, learning how to deal with bad bounces, and basically keeping a level head going through it in games.
So going into this upcoming season, what are you looking forward to the most? Obviously we've heard that there's a big amount of players from the core of last year that will be back. So how do you think that things are going to shake out? What should we expect? And what are you just looking forward to the most?
Honestly, I don't know how, but our team was tremendous last year. I think we're going to be even better. A lot of the guys understand what the expectations are here, and I think they're going to run with that and play better than ever. And especially we brought back really, really good people that care about the game, that care about the way they play. So I think that's big. One of the biggest things I'm looking forward to is playing with a lifelong friend. Tyler Spezia signed here. We've known each other since we were 4 years old, grew up playing roller hockey together, have been line mates our whole youth hockey career. So to have him here after he's been in Grand Rapids for the past couple of years will be a lot of fun. It's like having family here. So he's honestly like an older brother to me. If I could explain how close we've been, it's nuts. We've literally, since we've been 4 years old, have been line mates one or another in roller hockey or ice. And it's always been such a fun time to be around each other. And it's a unspoken chemistry that makes it a lot more fun on the ice between us two.
What do you see your future here? You know, as you said, you've been around 6-7 years now, married, just had a kid. Mm-hmm. Do you see yourself playing for several years so your kid can really enjoy it? Do you see yourself staying in hockey after you retire as a coach, a scout somewhere, or do you just want to, you know, get out completely?
Well, I haven't looked at the second part, but I'm going to ride it until the wheels fall off. So, Hanchick played until he's 38. Is that it?
Yeah.
I'd like to beat him. he's a close friend, and I always tell him I'm going to play until they tell me to take my skates off. So, and I'd really like to play until Rowan understands what dad does for a living and he can enjoy coming to the rink and doing different things like that. I think that would be a lot of fun for him and really a lot of fun for me because my dad did it with me with the roller hockey rink and getting to spend time on the open floor, being there at tournaments from 8 a.m. till 2 a.m. It just, I've been a rink rat my whole life and hopefully I can introduce him to that the same way I was.
Yeah. He'll be raised as a fish.
Exactly. But in terms of playing as long, I don't know. I'd love to play till I'm 40. I love the game. I love putting my skates on. Every time I put my skates on, I feel a little bit younger than the day before. So the 3-and-3s eventually get to you and different things like that, playing a lot of games down the road. But there's nothing in this world that lives up to putting your skates on and stepping on fresh ice. Obviously, other than having a firstborn. Or having a child, there's nothing that'll compare to that, but putting my skates on is a close second.
So is Rowan going to be skating before he's walking?
I put skates on at 18 months old. So
there you go.
Obviously, it didn't help. I'm not much of a skater. I'm more of a scooter, but we can see what happens there.
Yeah.
Crazy. Awesome. Well, we're looking forward to watching you again this season. I'm sure everyone else listening is. And good luck with your newborn and everything that's to come with that. And we appreciate you coming on today.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm sorry it's been such a crazy time to get on. I've been running around like a chicken with my head cut off with the little one, trying
can't
to help out
as much as I
can at home.
Oh, yeah.
It's nuts. And if I can do anything to make it easier on my wife, I'll take advantage of it. And that's about all I can do.
I'm sure.
Thanks, Brandon. Appreciate it.
Oh, awesome. Thanks, guys. Thanks, I appreciate it. Yep. Look forward to seeing you this year.
Yep. Bye.
Right.
Thanks for listening and joining us for today's podcast. It was great to hear from Brandon on the last couple of years and as he looks forward to this season with the Walleye. We'll see you all next week, which, believe it or not, Amanda, will be opening week of the season. Can you imagine? but it's an exciting time of year for sure, but we'll see you next week. Make sure you like, subscribe, rate our podcast, and follow us on social media at ECHL Hockey on Instagram and Facebook and TikTok and on X at ECHL.